We're in the middle of Tyra Hay and Likudei Moran Tanina. We're up to paragraph Dalid. We'll have a very, very quick review at the beginning just to bring people up to where we're up to. And the part that we're going to do tonight does stand alone. So in other words, if you're coming tonight, you're not going to be lost because of the fact that you're coming in the middle. We mentioned that this chapter on Likudei Moran deals primarily with the topic of emuna, faith. Faith in Hashem and faith in Tzaddikim. And Rabbi Nizal starts off by emphasizing that this is the main and most important item. And Rabbi Nizal says that many people who suffer very, very difficult types of sicknesses for which there seems to be just about no cure, usually those sicknesses are brought about due to a deficiency in Emunah. And Rabbi Nizal begins to explain a solution, how a person begins to resolve that. And he discusses a concept of tzaokom in halev, a screaming from the heart with it, which is without any sound whatsoever. Rabbi Nizal says that's the item that provides a solution for these types of sicknesses, these types of illnesses, Rahman al-Islam, that would seemingly have no cure otherwise. And Rabbi Nizal said that in order that this was one solution that Rabbi Nizal mentioned, which was the screaming from the heart. Rabbi Nizal said, however, what happens if a person finds that their emuna becomes nifgam, there's a pigam in the emuna to a tremendous extent, a very severe extent. Rabbi Nizal says, then the tikkun for that, in order for a person to be able to find the waters that allow the emuna to be able to grow, to be able to flow the way it should be flowing, Rabbi Nizal says that the item that helps that is the concept of etzos, receiving advice. And Rabbi Nizal proved through psukim how this concept of receiving advice and this screaming from the heart were both tied into each other. Then Rabbi Nizal explained the concept of darkness, the fact that when Hashem created the world, first it was dark, then there was light, that darkness represents when a person is lacking in advice, when a person is wandering around in the dark, they don't know how to deal with a situation, whereas when a person is zeichet to get the advice that they need, that's when the person finds the light, as Rabbi Nizal explained it. Then Rabbi Nizal said that in order for a person to be zeichet to draw this advice, he has to have an ish tivunais. He has to have a tzaddik emes, one who is very, very great, who's able to help the person to draw these waters of advice. And Rabbi Nizal explained and proved how the tzaddik emes, through his act of teaching people Torah, where he takes the Torah of Hashem, the words of Hashem, which begin in a state, in an unconstricted form. They start out in heaven, the wisdom of the Torah starts out in heaven as light, unconstricted light. When a tzaddik takes that wisdom and constricts it, how? Number one, by putting it into words. He takes the light of his wisdom and he constricts it into words, whereby the letters of the words that he's speaking, that alone is a form of tzimtzum, where it's broken out each thought that he wants. When the item is in his mind, it's a thought. Thoughts have no, they're not bound by any physical barriers. Whereas a person takes his thoughts and expounds on them verbally, that's when these items, these thoughts, it's the light being put into tzimtzumim. Rabbi Nizal says that's one form of this. Another form is by a tzaddik tight and putting it into a tzimtzum. Rabbi Nizal proved how that act is what gives a tzaddik the power to be able to draw a double shefa from Hashem, to be able to draw a double parnosa from Hashem, and it's with this double parnosa that he receives this large measure of advice to be able to help people in serving Hashem. This was pretty much what we had till now, in short, in summary. Now we're going to pick up from where we left off. Rabbi Nizal says, "Vada, and you should know, shal yidei nefilas ho emuna, al yidei ze naase v'nischazek emuna is kuzvius, emuna so avaydezara ukiyotzei." That when a Jew suffers a fall in faith in Hashem or in faith in tzaddikim, what happens is it isn't just that this goes down, this item gets decreased. When the faith in Hashem becomes diminished, automatically the faith in other things, in other false items that a person should not have faith in, becomes increased, heightened. Now note, the terminology that Rabbi Nizal uses for the wrong type of faith is emunos kuzvius, false type of faith. Because the faith of Kiddusha, the concept of faith of Kiddusha, is always tied in with truth. We say this in the morning in davening, emes ve'emuna chayk v'layavar, that truth and faith are inseparable. Why? Rav Nosson Zal explains in the Likutei Halachos that this is a very interesting concept. Faith, the term emuna, could only apply to something that a person doesn't understand. If you understand the item, or if I see an item, then there's nothing to believe in. If I see it, then I know it, and there's nothing to believe in. Can I say that I believe that there's a lamp over here? If I'm looking at the lamp, it's a ridiculous statement. The term faith, or the term belief, applies only to an item that a person doesn't see, or doesn't know as being a fact. He believes it to be fact. If so, if that's the case, how do we say that a Jew, let's say, picks a tzaddik, believes in Hashem, let's say, a Jew believes in Hashem, what's the basis for believing in Hashem? If, in other words, explain this logically, rationally, with some type of rationale, what's the basis for believing in Hashem if I don't see Hashem and if I don't know Hashem? Where is this belief supposed to begin from? What's the haskalah of the emunah? And Rav Nosson Zal explains the haskalah of emunah is from emes, is from truth, meaning that the fact is that in a way you're in a difficult situation. On one hand, it can't be shown to you, and yet on the other hand, if any person studies the world and studies himself and looks at everything with an ein ha'emes, with an honest eye, all it takes is honesty. The honesty of a person in being able to admit, in being able to recognize his own shortcomings, and in being able to recognize that which is around him, that honesty alone will lead him to faith, will lead him to knowing what to believe in as being correct. In other words, the question is, we know that a person in this world has bechira, free choice. You have the choice to choose to believe in the Jewish religion, or lahavdil, other religions, or not to believe in anything. And we know that a person in this world is fair. Hashem is melech oyev tzedakah mishpot. Hashem loves fairness. If Hashem is fair, how could he put a person into a situation of a test? You ask me that this, you present me with a test to have faith in Hashem, when, in other words, on what basis is there a dream that I'm capable of having faith? Where is it supposed to begin from? Rav Nosson Zal explains to Likutei Halachos, the answer is, it's supposed to begin from emes, that any person who will look at things with just simple honesty will be led into the true faith, will be led into knowing which Hashem to believe in, and will be led to knowing which tzaddik to believe in, to be able to tell, how do I tell which tzaddik is the biggest tzaddik, which one is the most correct? We find many rabbis alive who are in conflict. This one says that going out and bringing people close to religion is a mitzvah. Another one says that this item is sinful, this item causes problems for Jews, etc., etc. Which one do I believe? How do I know which one is right? Which one to have faith in? The answer is the faith, emunah, is totally an emes. If a person looks, Rav Nosson Zal guarantees a person, that if a person will just allow himself to study a situation with honesty, this doesn't involve a deep mind, a scientific mind, philosophical, it requires emes. Through emes alone, a person could be zeicher to come to emunah. And this is taichin the pasuk emes ve'emunah chayk bo yavar, that wherever you have one, you will automatically have the other one. If a person is zeicher to emes, automatically he'll be able to know what to believe in and how to believe, etc. Therefore, the term that we use for the wrong type of emunah is emunah kuzvias, belief in falsehoods. In other words, it's the opposite of emunah. The term emunah goes together with emes. This is an emunah which goes together with the word chazov, which means sheker, falsehood. Rabbeinu Zal says now, Veda, you should know, Shal yidei nefilaso emunah, yidei zeh naaseh v'neschazek, emunah is kuzvias. When a Jew experiences a yirida or a nefila in emunah, in faith, he experiences a fall in faith, in the true faith, what happens is automatically he strengthens or possibly creates a faith in the wrong item, a faith in sheker, a faith in idol worship, in avodah zarah, ukiyotze, and similar to that. Kemoshe kosuv, this concept is based on a pasuk in Yechezkel, where the pasuk says, Amalo hacharova. Hashem says, I will fill the void.
And this pasuk is written about Hashem rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash for the Jews, etc. And the Gemara in Megillah and in Psachim brings on this pasuk, Kishezeh kom zenoifel. The word mole means full, the word chorev means empty. The Gemara says that we have a rule, that whenever it comes to dealing with Yaakov Avinu and Lahavdol Esav HaRosha, when this one is full, this one is empty. When this one is full, this one is empty. There can never be any equalization between the two. These two are on two opposite ends of a seesaw. So if one is up, the other one must be down. If this one is down, the other one must be up. So therefore, if a between state, it's either faith in Hashem, or if you make the slightest turn away from Hashem, you are automatically, by default, you are turning to Avodah Zarah. As the Baal Shem Tov says Pshat, and what we say in Kriya Shema, Visartem Va'avadetem Elokim Acherim. The Pasuk says that if the Jews will chas v'shalom be bad, Visartem, and they will turn away, Va'avadetem Elokim Acherim, and they will worship idols. Why does the Pasuk have to say two terms? They will turn away, and they will worship idols. The Baal Shem Tov says this comes to teach us that if a Jew makes the slightest turn away from Hashem, he is automatically, in other words, there are these two things that are sort of side by side. Faith in Hashem and faith in the wrong things, Avodah Zarah. Just as we find Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest tzaddik, where was he buried? Right alongside Pa'or, the worst Avodah Zarah, the worst Mokim of Tumah. We find the Gemara says that how far apart are Gehenna and Gan Eden? Kechut HaSaira, there's a hair of space between the two. If a person makes the slightest turn away from one, he's automatically facing the other one. So if a Jew, chas v'shalom, has a fall in the true faith, this means that automatically he's giving strength to the wrong type of faith, to faith in Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki ikar kiyum v'chizuk emunais kuzvias huminafilas ha'emunah hakdashon. The main strengthening and establishment of the wrong type of faith, faith in Avodah Zarah, in idols or atheistic type of thoughts, comes from a fall in the true faith. Rabbi Nizal says, when a Jew is seicher to pick up the pieces of a fallen emunah, meaning if a Jew experiences a fall in faith in Hashem or in faith in tzaddikim, and then he goes ahead and corrects the fall, he picks himself up, he picks up this fallen emunah, thereby he is zeicher to bring about the coming of gerim, of converts into Bnei Yisrael. Through the gathering together and the picking out of this fallen emunah, it's from this fallen emunah that the klipos, the forces of tumah, the forces of avodah zarah, draw their whole power, they draw their whole nourishment. Where do they get their chiyus? We know that everything in this world that's alive has to draw from Hashem. So if we say that there's a concept of Avodah Zarah, idol worship, things like that, how do they possibly draw from Hashem? The answer is, whenever you have a Jew who suffers a fall in Emunah, his fall, the fact that he's lacking in the true Emunah, the forces of Tum are able to latch onto him and draw their chiyas from him, draw their sustenance from him, their power from him. So Rabbi Nizal says now, when a person is zeichet to pick up and to correct this fallen emunah, al yidei zeh nechlash koyach emunosam, this brings about a weakening to the faith and the religions of the goyim, va'azai heim chayzrim le'emunoseinu hakdoisha. Then the goyim return to our faith, to the holy faith, v'nas n'gerim, and they become converts, they convert. Rabbi Nizal explains now, this conversion sometimes takes place in actual practical sense. We actually have physical converts. Sometimes it takes place only in theory, in a sense, as Rabbi Nizal is going to explain.
At times, these gerim, these converts, are actually physically created,
at times it doesn't manifest itself in the form of a person actually converting and leaving his religion, but it comes in the manner where the person still retains his Goyish religion, let's say, an opposite religion, but within that religion, his faith in the true Hashem becomes strengthened. Hainu, Rabbeinu Zal explains, Oy shenas ngerim mamish bepoyel. At times, what happens is that people actually convert. Sheboim akum umizgairim. Goyim come and they actually convert to the Jewish religion. Oy shenas erak bekoyach. Or at times, this only happens in a theoretical sense, not theory, but not in a complete sense. Shal yidei shemalin emuna hanafula v'nechla shemanosam. Through the act of picking up this fallen emuna and weakening the faith of the goyim, al yidei ze nizgale lohem b'mokim sheheim. Then it becomes revealed to these goyim on their level, in their location, it becomes revealed to them the true faith, the faith in one Hashem, in a concept of one Hashem. Umaminim shom b'mokim sheheim, and they begin to believe in their place. In other words, while they're still practicing their own religion, they begin to believe sheyesh yochid kadmon yisporach, that there is one original creator of the world. Bibachina, says the Pasuk, says, Bechol Mokoim Muktar Umugash Lishmi. The Navi says that wherever there are people worshipping a religion, in actuality, in other words, and they bring sacrifices, the smoke of their sacrifices is actually going to Hashem, because in other words, they think they believe in the wall or the tree or the sheep or whatever it is, they're worshipping whatever, what they think, what they believe is the Creator. In actuality, who's the Creator? Hashem. So in a sense, regardless of whether they know it or not, inadvertently, they are worshipping the real Creator. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh toli kifi chayzeh koemuna kuzvias shehoyam etchila." What determines now when a Jew experiences a fall in emuna and then he picks himself up and he comes, he's zeicha to strengthen his emuna? We said that this can manifest itself. This affects gerim. Sometimes in an actual tangible sense where we see goyim convert. Sometimes it comes about in the fact that the goyim within their location achieve a realization about the concept of emunah Hashem. The question is, what determines which one of these two things happens? Rabbeinu Zal explains, it's dependent on how strong the wrong type, how strong a fall the person had taken originally. According to how much he was stooped in the emunah is kuzvius, that's what will determine when he pulls out of it how much of a tikkun he affects. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Hainu kishu emuna kuzvias hoyso chazoka betchila." When the wrong type of faith was very, very strong at first, azai then acharkach kishemishabrim hoyso. When the person is zeichet to break that false faith and he's zeichet to correct the problem, umalin hu emuna hanafula digdusha mishon. He elevates the fallen emuna from where it was, venas and gerim, and there are converts formed, azai nas and gerim bepoyal mamish. These converts come about in an actual tangible form, the real thing. People actually convert and leave the Goyish religion and join the Jewish religion. Whereas, if the false faith was not that strong in the beginning, meaning the yerida that the person had, or the nefila that the person had, was not that big a yerida, azai then kishenish beres, when the person breaks the false emuna, umahapchenoisel hakdusha, and he changes to the kedusha, he changes to the true faith in Hashem, azai einasemimeno rak geirim bekoyach. Then there are also converts formed, but not in a literal sense where they actually leave their religion. What happens is, within the scope of their own religion, they achieve a realization of a concept of faith in the true Hashem, but within their religion, meaning they don't accept the Torah, they don't accept those things, but they do receive a faith in the Yochid Kadmon, in Hashem himself, Kavyochon. Just one second. So to summarize this paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal says that whenever a Jew or the Jewish nation as a whole experiences a yerida in emunah, a fall in emunah, What happens is, this causes a strengthening of the other faiths, of the faiths of the Goyim. So if we see that the Goyim, their crutch and their places are very powerful today, it's based, how did that power come about? It came about through a fall in the Amun of the Jews. Just as the Gemara says, Leicharvo Yerushalayim at Sheposko Mimeno Anshe Amona. What caused the destruction of Yerushalayim? A decrease in people who had true faith in Hashem. When Yerushalayim goes down, what happens? Roimi goes up. The Goyim, when the Jews have a fall, the Goyim bounce up. These are always on two sides of the seesaw. What strengthens the faith of the Goyim? A fall in the faith of the Jews. Rabbein Ezal says, however, when this problem is corrected, either on an individual basis, when a Jew is zeichet to correct himself, to study Torah and to daven Hashem, and to be zeichet to get his act together, to be zeichet to fix up his emunah, what happens is, by his fixing up his emunah, he doesn't just affect himself, he affects the total picture. Kol Yisrael Arehim Zelozeh. He affects the whole status of this seesaw. When he goes up, what happens is, he causes a nefila to the Goyim. In what manner? Sometimes this manifests itself by them actually losing one of their members, one of their clan, actually leaves the fold and joins the Jewish nation, becomes an actual convert. Sometimes it manifests itself in a Goy achieving a greater realization of Emunah in the true Hashem. What determines the extent of the tikkun? The answer is the pigam. According to how big a pigam there was, according to how big a yerida there was, that's what will determine how big an aliyah. And this is a fantastic chiddush. Picture a case where the only chance for a major accomplishment is when there is a major fall. And we see many proofs to this. For example, the neshama of Moshiach, which is going to be the one to bring about the main tikkun of emunah for the Jews. This neshama, the Arizal brings, had to fall to such a low level. It had to come from so many different sets of problems. There had to be the association of light with his daughters. Light with his daughters, who had a child called Mayav. And from Mayav came forth Rus. And Rus converted, and from this convert came forth David HaMelech, and David HaMelech had a whole incident with Bathsheba, which seems to have all kinds of questions on it, and from that came forth, and Yehuda and Tamar along the way, and from that would come forth the holy neshama of Moshiach. Why? Because it's always that according to how great a tikkun we want to be able to form, when a tzaddik wants to accomplish a very high level tikkun, he... What about emunah? We have every kind of mania conceivable. According to how big a tikkun we want to accomplish, it's determined by how low the person goes, in a sense, to be able, according to how low he goes, when the slingshot strikes back, that's what determines how high he's able to reach up. Now what do you want to ask?
You said that emes and emunah is tied together. Is that always the case? What happens if somebody looks honestly at something? And like a tzaddik gives a person an etzah, and he looks emes, and he sees that he has to just believe this, you know, 100% without knowing it, because if he looks emes for him, you know, through his own eyes, he'll see that he wants to do something else.
Not true.
So that's
not true.
It's blind, isn't it? No. Emunah is blind.
No, because I'm telling you, if emunah were totally blind, then what makes you any more right than the goy, Lahavdil, who believes in his priest and his fada and that stuff? If faith is something that's completely blind, what's to say that one is any better than the other? The answer is, on one hand, we say faith is a concept of blind, because factually it's in something that you can't see. But yet, in order to be able to find what to believe in, there must be a bechina of emes. It requires an honesty. So that even when a person is zeicha to become attached to a Rebbe, the person has to constantly be checking himself, number one, and checking the Rebbe in his own opinion. How does he know he didn't make a mistake? Maybe he attached himself to the wrong Rebbe. Not necessarily in the wrong Rebbe, that his Rebbe is a Rasha. But let's say if a person wants to find the greatest tzaddik, we have the case of Rav Nosson Zal, who first became attached to one Rebbe, then to another. He kept trying different Rebbes. What made him make the move from one Rebbe to the other Rebbe? He attached himself to one Rebbe based on the fact that he saw good in him, or his friends told him that this Rebbe's a big tzaddik. He came to him, he benefited from him to an extent, but he always looked with a very, very honest eye and made a judgment. Do I think that this person is in a situation, is in a position to be able to help me with everything that I need? And until he felt completely satisfied, he just continued to search until he found what he felt was the emes, you understand? Mm-hmm. So in other words, we can never, if we separate emes from emunah, emunah is nothing. This is where Rabbeinu Zal brings in a small term, a good amount, that if a person has emunah alone, excuse me, on emunah alone he can fall. If a person at any point in time wants to close his eyes and jump, he can bump into a wall and get a big swollen head and get his, you know, get himself all bloodied up. That we never say. It always has to be emes v'emunah. We understand that faith sometimes involves closing up your mind, meaning that if a person wants to have faith in Hashem, does that mean that he first has to be able to understand everything about Hashem? The answer is that's ridiculous. Because if you would understand Hashem, you would be Hashem. The concept of a Hashem who is so great and so infinite in everything automatically dictates that I can't understand everything. So on one hand, if I go with only emes and I try to make everything honest in my own, no way. But there has to be an application of emes to a degree in order to be able to figure out what to have emunah in. Otherwise, pesi yam in lechol davar. A fool believes in everything, and Rabbeinu Zal brings that's not good. That's not kosher. That's not the way a Jew is supposed to be. Pesiyam l'chaldor, just believe anything anybody tells him. Otherwise, he could be misled into every pit and thorn bush conceivable. He has to try to apply some degree. He has to try to mix and match these two and coordinate these two. On one hand, not to try to use his own seichel. On the other hand, to use some seichel. Otherwise, he's finished. Okay. Now Rabbeinu Zal says... And note, this yichud of emes and emunah is the yichud of zohar and nekeva, which again are always inseparable. It's the yichud of Torah and tefillah. Torah is always called emes. Torah's emes oisa b'fihu. Tefillah is always called emunah. Vayihi yodov emunah. Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hands in faith, meaning in tefillah. So therefore, these two are the whole basis for the Jewish religion. These two are inseparable, and one without the other is unacceptable. It can't work. Torah alone without tefillah, chas v'shalom, a person that the Gemara tells us that the Torah is a poison. The Torah is either a sam chaim or a sam mavis. You're taking a chance. How do you know that your interpretation of the Torah won't be a false one, as many Rishonim in the past took the Torah and used that as an excuse for becoming the worst sinners conceivable? How do you know that you won't do that? The only protection is tefillah. On the other hand, tefillah without Torah is nothing. Because without the knowledge of Torah, you don't know what to pray for. The Gemara tells us stories of people who prayed for the wrong thing. One person got up and started davening to marry this specific girl. He saw a girl that he liked. So the Gemara says, one of the rabbis of the Gemara came over to him and said, "Fool, you're not allowed to do that. Hashem doesn't like that. You don't. How do you know she's the right one for you? You have to daven to be zoch to find the right." So we see that tefillah alone is nothing. And Torah, you must have both. You must have emes ve'emunah.
Could you say that, in other words, the Koyach taking a person away from these would be Esav Yishmael? And if so, which would correspond to which?
Which would correspond to?
In other words, one Koyach taking a person away from having Emunah and Hashem, and the other
right.
from learning.
The answer is both. They both apply to both. Those two, the Zohar Kodesh uses the terminology anonin, train anonin, the mechasna vainin, that Esav and Yishmael are referred to as two clouds that cover up the eyes of a Jew. Clouds. There's a posik sakoiso be'onon loch me'aver tefillah, that clouds are something that block the tefillah. On the other hand, the eyes are the whole concept of seichel, chochma, vatipokach no'inei shnehem. The tumah always tries to cover up both. They try to cover up the Torah, the Jews, they try to block a Jew from studying Torah, or they try to block a Jew from davening. Period.
I heard Kevin mention, as far as Esav, Why did Isaac want to give Esau the blessing? Because he saw that if he would use all his negative things into positive things, he could be possibly Mashiach. And so it's in the same vein what you're saying.
True. Exactly. And that's one of the items that the Mefarshim bring. That again, if there were any potential to be Mesakin Esau, just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, why did he get involved with the Erev Rav? If you saw that these people were such Rishonim, why put yourself out on the limb to try to be Mesakin them? The answer is because if you fix one of them, if you take one who's really far from the Kedusha and you fix him, that makes the biggest splash in heaven conceivable. What's the proof of that? Who was the furthest person from Judaism in existence, just about?
Yisroel.
The Pope. Yisroel was Kohen Midyan. What's the taicha of the words Kohen Midyan? He was the Pope of Midyan. That's what Yisroel was. The Torah, the Chumash, tells us that he said, Hashem, now I recognize that you're greater than all the other Hashems in the world. The Gemara says, how did he know? The Gemara says, you know how he knew? He had worshipped every single idol in the world. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when this Yisroel came along and said, Ato Yodati Ki Godol Hashem Mikol Elokim, that I recognize the Jewish Hashem, the Zohar HaKadosh says that minute a proclamation went out in heaven, Hashem said to all the angels, get ready, we're going down to earth to give the Torah to the Jews. There's nothing in existence that had made a big enough splash in heaven up until this Pope came along. And he showed acceptance of Hashem, that made such a kiddush Hashem in heaven, that Hashem said, for this, we're going down to give the Torah to the Jews. Proof is, which parsha in the Torah is the whole topic of Matan Torah? Parshas Yisroel. Out of all the nice, you know, parshas in the Torah to put the highest parsha of the Torah in, the highest paragraph of the Torah, the Ten Commandments, you couldn't pick a better parsha than the parsha of the Pope, Yisroel? The answer is most definitely, because that's the biggest accomplishment when one who is so far from Kedusha comes close, one who is the antithesis of faith in Hashem, when he accepts faith in Hashem, that's the biggest splash in the sea. Act of picking up and correcting and elevating this fallen faith, Aidezeh Nas Ngerim. We said that this brings about conversions, converts. Umachmas she'elu hagerim nasin milakitas nefilas v'emuna. Because of the fact that how did this achievement of creating gerim come about? It came about via a problem. There first had to be a fallen faith. Jews had to experience a fallen faith. When they pick up the pieces of the fallen faith, we said that's what brings about these converts, correct? So Rabbi Nazal says now, because of the fact that these converts, the act of these converts being created, is only brought about through a fallen faith, that's why there is a negative aspect to this. Al-Kain, therefore, hein mazik in Yisrael. Therefore, although on one hand it is a very big accomplishment and a beautiful item when a guy converts, but it's not totally good. There is some bad that comes with it. As the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Bebechinas, as the Gemara says, Koshin Gerim LiYisrael Kisapachas Bo'er, that Gerim, converts, present as much problems to the Jewish nations as a sore on the skin. Just as a person doesn't like to have a sore on the skin, that's how much the Jews don't like to have converts. Because converts present problems to the Jewish nation. How? Hainu, Rabbi Nazal explains, Hainu makos. The word sapachas means a sore, like a nega on the hand. Rabbi Nazal says that's mako, that's like a wound on the hand. Bechinas makos muflois kanal. This reverts back to what we started this chapter on the Likutei Moran. We said that there's a pasuk that says that Hashem will place on the Jews makos muflois vene'emonois. That the concept of emuna, that these makos, that there is a type of illness that could befall a person that's wondrous, and it represents a fallen faith. Ne'emonos, Rabbi Nizal said, it's due to an afilo in emuna. Rabbi Nizal says this is what the pasuk is hinting to when the Gemara tells us that gerim are like a sore. They represent this makos muflois vene'emonos. They come, the bringing about of converts comes about via a fall in faith by the Jews. Shenas they are created via a fall in faith. Because of the fact that the first step in the procedure of bringing about converts is it necessitates a fall in faith, Step one is a fall. Step two is the gathering up. Step three is forming converts. Because of step one, that's why Al Kain Heim Koshim Kasapachas Kanal. That's why there is a negative aspect to it. That's why the Gemara refers to them as a sore on the hand. That there are problems that are presented by having converts join the Jewish nation. And this is why the Gemara says that the basic halacha is that if a guy comes to convert, we try to dissuade him. Our initial reaction has to be to try to dissuade him. Why? Because this item could cause problems for the Jews. It could cause the most fantastic gifts to the Jews, as in the case of Yisroi, where the Zohar HaKadosh testifies that it was Yisroi's conversion that actually resulted in Matan Torah for the Jews. Without him, with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Yehoshua, with Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Jews would never have received the Torah on Har Sinai. This is what the Zohar HaKadosh says. It was only Kadosi Yisroi, when Yisroi came and joined the Jewish nation, that's what brought about such a fantastic reaction in heaven that Hashem actually was willing to come down on earth and present himself in all this glory on Har Sinai. So Rabbi Nezal says therefore the general rule is that we dissuade a convert. Why? Because of the fact that there is a negative aspect to it. Now the question is, what actual problem do converts cause for the Jewish nation? That's going to be in the next paragraph. Rabbi Nezal is going to explain that. What do you want to say? That was your question?
Well, delayed, like, the Lashon of Minzal seems to be saying that the Gevur calls Machas V'Flos, the Machas V'Flos is Al-Din Chilos Emunah.
Exactly.
The Gevur coming back is Bechina of being the second Emunah.
True, in other words, but the fact is, no, there's a saying, I heard this, to quote my mother-in-law who's here, interestingly, she always mentioned this item, that when you have a pair of pants that gets a hole in it, no matter how many patches you put on it, you could never make it as good as a new pair of pants, correct? You could have the best sewing equipment, you could have, once it's patches, you could never make it as good as the original item. Although, I want to modify that with a statement that we were zeichet to hear from one of the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Nachman Bushkin, who mentioned that Rabbi Nezal once made a statement. Rabbi Nezal said that he is capable of accomplishing such a tikkun for this world that the world will be better off after the sin of the Eitz Hadas with his tikkun. In other words, the Eitz Hadas caused a tremendous pigam, a tremendous defect on the whole world. Rabbi Nezal said he's capable of providing a bandage, a band-aid to fix the Eitz Hadas, which will make the world better off than it would have been had the whole crime of the Eitz Hadas never happened. And that's an incredible chiddush, but that's the exception. The norm is, the way the Welt speaks, that a bandage could never be as good. When an item is torn and you sew it out, you sew it back, it's never as strong as the original item. That's an expression of the Welt, and that's the concept that Rabbi Nezal is saying here. That because of the fact that the creation of converts must come about initially via a nefila in Emunah, it shows that there's something in there, in other words, there's two ingredients in creating a convert. Step one is an afil of emunah. Step two is picking up the fallen emunah. Because half of the process of bringing about converts it requires an afil of emunah, that shows there's something bad in it. You understand? That results in there being something bad in it.
Why is there a mitzvah in the Torah them as a ger, besides obviously, and as a chemical always ger, is that for taken for them? Or?
The answer is because I just proved it to you from the case of Yisrael. We're discussing one aspect about gerim here. We happen to be discussing the negative aspect. I just quoted from you the Zohar Kodesh, the path. Can you get any more positive than the fact that without gerim we have no Moshiach? Our Moshiach happens to come from gerim. One of the greatest Tanoim in the entire Shas, Rabbi Akiva, happens to come from gerim. So you do away with gerim, you're doing away with 99.999% of the Jewish religion. Without Mashiach, let's close up shop, let's forget it. The whole emunah, the whole hope, the whole tshua for Jews comes from Mashiach, which is ger, which is convert. So we know that the benefits certainly outweigh the problems. Rabbi Nezal here is going to discuss the problem. By the way, if you'll hold your breath a minute, he's going to discuss a solution to the problem. So that once he gives us a solution, we're going to see that as bad as they are, he provided the bandage for that problem also. But we know that there is a negative aspect to Gerim. Proof is, you learn Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that the attitude a rabbi is supposed to take when a person comes to convert is there. Why? Why don't we go out on megaphones and tell these zhlubs, these morons, that instead of believing in dead cows and other nonsense, other bathroom stuff that they believe in, the Gemara says, you want to tell a goy where to find his Hashem, the one that they believe in, and he says, where is he, this Yashka? He's in the bathroom. He's nidoin b'tzoyar reisachas. So rather than going to their immaculate, antique places of worship, they'd be much better. They could get much, develop a much closer relationship with him, closer association, if they simply go into their own bathrooms. This is what the Gemara says. So why don't we go out and proclaim this on megaphones and everything? The answer is because of the fact that there is also something negative. Therefore, our initial reaction has to be not to welcome it, but if a goy forces the issue and he shows a willingness to convert, once he passes the initial test, we welcome him with both hands more than we would possibly welcome a Jew. The Gemara is much, the Chumash is much more sensitive about being pleasant and respectful and warm to a ger than to a regular Jew, no question. The Gemara says there's like 20 or 30, I don't remember the number, of warnings in the Torah. Watch out for gerim. Watch out how you talk to a ger, watch out how you deal with a ger.
This concept of a ger coming about only through, you know, through rebound after.
The same
song. In fact, this concept of the ger coming about through a tikkun for those fallen amunah, and you're saying it's not as good as the fact because it comes back to this negative point. Can that be applied also? What about, you know, say about a Baal Tshuva?
Right.
Some, we don't say in an aspect that he's better than a Tzadik.
Yes, the answer is, and again, both things are true. On one hand, the Gemara makes a statement, B'mokim Shebali Tshuva Oimdin, Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Echolam Ramayim, that the level of a Baal Tshuva is considered in certain ways superior to a Tzadik. But if you recall, Rebbe Zal once gave a shiur in Eretz Yisrael, one of the Tikkuni Zera shiurim, he mentioned from the Baal Shem Tov that on one hand that's a ridiculous statement to make. Because how could you say that one who became impure, and pure, and again, it's this concept, how can you say that a torn pair of pants with a patch on it could be equal to a pair of brand new pants? So Rebbe Zal said that I think it's the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh who interprets that Gemara to mean, what is Baalei Tshuva? Baalei Tshuva refers to tzaddikim, who, just like what is Baal Tefillah? The master of Tefillah, the one who teaches Tefillah. What is Baal Tshuva? This means a Rebbe who goes out and makes people do Tshuva. But Mokim Shebaalei Tshuva Oimdin, in other words, we have the concept of certain tzaddikim who are tzaddik gomor. What's Haich tzaddik gomor? He stays in his own room. He doesn't mingle with the filthy people, with the people who are Rishoim, who committed a lot of sins and everything. He doesn't dirty his hands like. He keeps himself totally clean. He has only religious, he surrounds himself only with religious people, only good people, and that's how he practices his religion. That's the concept of tzaddik gomor. In other words, tzaddik who keeps only tzidkus around himself. Baal Tshuva is the concept of a tzaddik. A tzaddik. He himself is a tzaddik. Is a tzaddik, not Baal Tshuva. He himself is a tzaddik, but he goes out and makes people do tshuva. Huh? Right. So we said that the pshat that they say in this is b'mokim shebaalei tshuva, that that's what it means. But on one hand, we would certainly not say that Baal Tshuva, in other words, so there is such an interpretation. Therefore, I'm telling you that this is not a blanket statement to say, although, on other hands, we definitely do accept the fact that, for example, the type of sensitivity that a Baal Tshuva shows to doing, any person who studies this with his own eyes, you watch a Baal Tshuva put on a pair of tzitzis and a tzaddik gomor, in many ways that tzaddik gomor cannot compete whatsoever, because the Baal Tshuva feels such a hurt on one hand for what he did wrong and for the fact he hasn't done this in so long, he shows much more enthusiasm in 99.99% of cases than the tzaddik gomor. But when we discuss the tzaddik emes, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, who we say never committed any type of sin, is there any Baal Tshuva that's higher than him? The answer is no. You know, on the other hand, no question. Fashtei? Zehu. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ve'elu hagerim hein machnisim gaivo b'Yisrael. What problem is there that these converts present to the Jewish nation? What difficulty do they cause? They bring an arrogance into the Jewish nation. Rabbi, well, how? Rabbein Azal explains, Ki Omrazal, the Gemara says in Chagiga that there's a pasuk that says, Bimistorim tivke nafshi, my soul cries out in hidden places, Mipnei gover, about the arrogance. What is this gover? The Gemara explains, Mipnei geuson shel Yisrael shenitno liakum. That this is Hashem talking here. Hashem says, my heart, my soul cries out because of the arrogance. Arrogance meaning honor, kavod. What kavod? The Gemara says, the kavod of the Jews that has fallen into the hands of the goyim. In other words, for example, when the Jews now are in exile, we know that to the Jew belongs all the glory. Any glory that exists in this world belongs to the Jew. Why? Because the Jew is the chosen person of Hashem. We are the chosen people of Hashem. Therefore, any kavod that's in this world belongs to us. If we see that we are now in exile, and we are downtrodden, and we're considered the lowest people on this earth, the smallest, the lowest, whatever, Rahman al-Tzal, whatever bad words you want to say, then where has all of this glory gone? Where has all of this kavod gone? It's fallen into the hands of the goyim. And this is what the pasuk says, that Hashem cries out about the greatness of the Jews that has fallen into the hands of the goyim. Nimtza. So what do we see from this pasuk, from this Gemara? Shehagayva dikdusha shel Yisrael nafla aleihem. That the holy glory of the Jewish people has fallen into the hands of the goyim nowadays. They're the ones who have this. V'alkein, therefore, kishechoizrim akum, umizgairim, when a goy returns and he converts, heim mevin imohem gaivo shehoisa etzlam kanal, he brings back with him part of this glory, this kavod that he had with him while he was a goy. While he was a goy, this fallen kavod was by him. He brings it back. Umachnisin b'Yisrael gaiva. And they bring into the Jewish people gaiva. Now note these, again, if you have knowledge of Kabbalah, everything jives, everything fits perfectly. How did we say Geirim are brought about? A nefila in Emuna and a restoring of the Emuna. What sphera is Emuna? Malchus. Kavod. Kavod, v'yavoy melech ha-kavod. So these two are one and the same. The ger is brought about through a nefila of emuna. The emuna falls, the kavod of the Jews falls. What's the tikkun? An aliyah to the emuna, an aliyah for the kavod. So the gerim are synonymous with a heightening of kavod. This heightening of kavod could manifest itself in a good way, or at times it could bring about problems. Rabbein Azal here is addressing a situation whereby the concept of creating Geirin causes this kavod to fall into the wrong hands, as we're about to explain. That there does exist the potential when a goy converts, he causes this heightening of kavod. This heightening of kavod has to go somewhere. If it goes into the right hands, it's a fantastic, it's a magnificent accomplishment. That's the wording of the Zohar Kodesh. Kad osi Yisroi, kidein istalik v'isyaker shmo dekutche brichu. What is shmo? Baruch Shem. Kevoid Malchusai. The name of Hashem is the Kavoid of Hashem. The Kavoid of Hashem was heightened in an incredible way. Whereas if this Kavoid falls into the wrong hands, it could cause tremendous damage, as Rabbein Azal is about to explain. So again, we're discussing a potential of harm that exists when a goy converts. Not necessarily that it has to cause harm, a potential. Rabbein Azal says now, Va'al Yedei Zeh, through this type of thing, Noitlin Cherev Hagaivo Manhige Hador Shenizgoin Al Hador Bechinon. What could come out of this is that Rabbein Azal is going to use the term the sword of arrogance. He's going to base that on a pasuk. There's a pasuk that discusses this Cherev Hagaivo, a sword of arrogance, a sword of glory, or a sword of kavod.
But that way you just said, Geirim come back to bring the guy for that really belonged to the Yidden and it fell into them, so they bring it back.
Correct.
So like, Rabbein Azal says it, when it belonged to the Yidden, it was Gaiva of Kedusha.
Right.
So, I mean, they're bringing it back, but...
You're about to answer your own question. The answer is just like by the Amunah we said, because of the fact that the bringing back of Geirim had to come about through a Nefila and Amunah, that causes the return to be a drop tainted. That's what allows that when Geirim come back, there are problems that come from it. Here it's the same thing. Because of the fact that this kavod that they're bringing back is a kavod that fell, there's a potential for danger. You understand? Once a person did a sin and comes back, You can't trust him in a sense as much as one who never committed a sin. That's what Rebbe's always used to say. The Gemara once, never open the door to the Satan once. Because once you opened it once, it's so much harder to be able to find him the second or third or fourth. Once, Ovar Vishono Nasis Lagather, the concept that once you do a sin once or twice, it becomes infinitely harder to battle the Satan on that sin than had you held out. Once you didn't open the door once to him, he could never come to you. You know, if you hold out for a certain period of time, it's much more difficult for him to break through. It's a similar concept here.
We said, like, you know, the guy with the Kusha that was by the Yidna, that belonged by the Yidna.
Correct.
But what does that mean? That simply that they should have been recognized by everybody else as the higher.
Yeah, as Bani B'chari Yisrael, as Ishtai. The Bukhari gets the double shefa, right? Not like now that we're treated like good dogs. All the glory, all the wealth of the world, you read about the crutch. They say that there's no wealthier institution in this world, on this earth, than the Vatican. The wealth of the gold, the wealth of Torah. Why? How is it shaykh to them if we're supposedly the chosen people? Where's all the kavod? Why is it that you walk into their places of worship? Our biggest place of worship is smaller than their, lahavdol, than their tiniest place. This is all showing that the kavod of the Jews nowadays is very, very downtrodden.
I don't remember fully, but does Rabbi Nadal say something in Torah about sperm, about also Torah about game, about when the game come back is nislish to rap with them? In other words, that could be the chat, in other words.
Exactly. What he's mentioning is a concept that, for example, the moshul that's given to this is that when a person falls into it, let's say you have a pool of mud, and you get a person that falls into that pool, when you raise him up automatically with him, it's impossible to just pull him out. What happens is, in pulling him out, some of the mud that's in that pool comes out with him. Unless you're careful enough to scrape that off right away, that mud could cause a bad odor. You understand? Although you pulled him out, he was in the mud, he smelled disgusting. You pulled him out of the mud, supposedly he's clean. The answer is, at the first step, he's not totally clean. There is some of this mud on him, which if you don't deal with it in the right way, it could cause problems. Okay, now Rabbi Nizal says, "Vaydezeh meitlin cherev hagayvo manhige hadoer shemizgon alder bechinam." What happens is this sword of arrogance falls into the leaders of the generation who show an arrogance to the generation needlessly, without desert. In other words, they act in an arrogant manner, in a haughty manner, although they are not worthy of any haughtiness or arrogance or any kavod. Rabbi Nizal explains now. Kiyesh manhigim. There are leaders, unfortunately, even among the Jewish people. Shemisnahagin birabonus. They act as leaders. They act in as leaders. Umayshlin al amdal. They rule over a poor nation, poor people, meaning either poor in money or poor in seichel. Einoni elam anadas. The Gemara says, vehimizgoim al hadoer bechinam. And these leaders, they play the role of leadership falsely. They're not worthy of being leaders. In other words, for example, somebody who set up as a rabbi in a shul, the fact that he's the leader in religion, he better be more religious than the other people there, otherwise it's a mockery. Otherwise, how can he represent the leadership of religion if he's the least religious one there? In other words, that's the silliness. So Rabbi Nizal says here, unfortunately, there are leaders who are undeserving leaders, where the whole thing is a fake out, it's a joke. They're not really worthy of their position in leadership, and yet they carry out the role of leadership with all b'chol prateh v'digdukeh. They act as total leaders. Rabbi Nizal says, "Kiloi nitna vehem izgon alador bechinam." They act in this form of leadership, this role of leadership, bechinam, without being worthy of it. Kiloi nitain lohem gedula min hashemayim klal, because it's not Hashem that appointed them as leaders. Their appointership to rakhem izgoim meatzmom alador bechinam. It's they're like self-appointed leaders. They have not been appointed. The usual concept of a Jewish leader is one who got smicha from a tzaddik, where a very great tzaddik appointed him and designated him as being worthy of ruling over a shul or over a city or over a community. Without that, people who are self-appointed leaders, or they're appointed by ones who they themselves were not appointed by a true leader, Again, you're causing this type of situation where a person enters into a leadership position where he's not really worthy of it. Hashem is not happy to see him in that spot. And these leaders, these incorrect type of leaders, receive this sword of arrogance. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, va'asher cherev ga'avosecho. So we see the term used in the pasuk, a sword of arrogance. Rabbi Nezal says, wait, how do they receive this? Al yidei hagerim hanal. They receive it through these converts, shehimachnisim gaiva b'Yisrael kanal. Because we mentioned before that converts bring this arrogance into the Jewish nation. They bring this kavod into the Jewish nation. We're using those two words interchangeably here, gaiva and kavod in a sense. Umoishlim al amdal b'chinam. And these rulers act as rulers over a poorer nation, without any warrant, without any merit. V'yesh lahem koyach afilu lahanish esmi she'enoi roitze lachniach atzmoi tachas mimshaltam. And at times, this leadership manifests itself to such an extent where these leaders are actually in a position to be able to punish anybody who doesn't accept their role as leaders, although they don't really merit the spot, they don't really merit the kavod. And all of this is brought about through this sword of arrogance. Ube'emes, Rabbi Nezal says, in truth, einzeh nikre manish. We don't apply the term punish, that these people are in a position to punish other people. Elo mazik. We apply the term damage. The term damage is a more appropriate term than punish. Punish is when a child does something he's not supposed to, the parent, who is the one who deserves, who has the authority to reprimand and to punish that child, that's the one who punishes. When you get one who hits the child without any intent of correcting the child, or without any intent of benefiting the child, he punches the child, he breaks the child's arm or something, we don't use the term einish, we use the term mazik, we use the term damage. Okay, so Rabbi Nezal says they are not called manish, they're called mazik. Kihain mazike alma. They are actually ones who damage the world. Vizeh, this is what the Gemara means. When the Gemara uses the term kushin gerim liyisrael kasapachas, that gerim are as harmful to the Jews as a sore. The word sapachas means sore, and the word sapachas in Hebrew also means weeds. Weeds. Rabbi Nezal says, "Bechinas sfichim shegdele me alehem." The word sfiach, v'chol sfiach hasode terem yitzmoch. The word sfiach means weed. A weed. What is a weed? A weed is something which you don't plant. In other words, it doesn't warrant. A weed is something that rises up from the ground, not because somebody pulled it up. It rises up on its own. It's like these false leaders who are self-appointed leaders. This concept of rising up without having been put into that position. Hainu shal yidei hagerim noitlin gaivo manhige hador shegdela me'alehen umizgo me'atzim la'ador b'chinam. Through these converts, the manhiga ador, these rulers who rose up by themselves, they take this sword of arrogance, umizgoin me'atzman al hador bechinam, and they show this wrong, this incorrect, unwarranted leadership over the generation, kiloi miten lahem hagdula min hashamayim klal kanal, because they were not designated as leaders from heaven whatsoever. V'alkein nikroim gerim. That's why the term that we use for convert, this is one of the reasons why the Hebrew word for convert is ger. Why? There's al shem, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, yagiruhu al yidei cherev. The word yagiruhu means to spill blood. They will spill their blood through a sword. So the word ger, yagiruhu, relates to the spilling of blood via a sword. So the word ger reflects to this creation of this sword. This cherev hagaivo, we brought the pasuk v'asher cherev gavosecho, this cherev hagaivo that the gerim impose on the Jewish people, which sometimes gets picked up, it gets put into the wrong hands, and these incorrect type of leaders, these unworthy leaders take this cherev hagaiva and they use it to show a leadership over the Jewish nation that's not warranted, it's improper. Now Rabbi Nezal says, Vayidei Hagaivo show Elu Hamanhige Hadoyer, through the arrogance of these leaders that we just spoke about, Al Yidei Zeh He Magbirin Taivas Niuf Bo'elam, they cause a strengthening of the bad type of desire for women in the world, a desire for illicit relationships with women in the world. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, there's a Pasuk in Mishlei that tells us that these two go together, Gaiva and women. There's a Pasuk that says, Ve'eshes ish nefesh yikoro totsud. A married woman who goes out, Rachmana Litzlan, and she's mezana, who does she pick to be mezana with? She picks an arrogant person, a nefesh yikora, one who considers himself very proud, very great, one who has long hair. Those items we said that we spoke about, this corresponds with what we said on Shabbos, that these two go together, kavod and women, malchus. Women, again, are an union of malchus. Shalidei gaivo nizgaber taivas niuf. Through gaivo, that brings about a strengthening of this desire, this illicit desire for women. Shehi bechinas chosam de sitrachra. This is called the seal, the lock of the Satan. Because we know the concept of tikkun abris, when a Jew has a bris milah, that's called the chosam of kedusha. That's called the seal of Hashem is on that person. Another word for bris is chosam, this seal of kedusha that's on the person. When a person commits an act of pigama bris chas v'shalom, he becomes attached to the chosam of klipa, the seal of klipa. Rabbi Nezal brings another term in the Gemara that the word chosam is bigimatria midas. The word midas, which means tuma, midas devaiso titmo. Midas means tuma. Again, this concept of pigama bris, this union of tuma. Bechinas hechtin besoroi mizoivoi. His flesh became closed up, clammed up in a bad way through his zivus, through his tuma. So we see there is a concept of a chosam of tuma, a hechtin of tuma. We know, how does a person overcome the incorrect desire for women? What does he have to use to overcome this desire? A sword. How do we see this? Bebechina says, the Pasuk says, Chagoyer charbecho al yorech. Tie your sword to your loin, to your thighs. Yerech refers to the meaning of tikkun abris. Charbecho al yorech. The sword is the thing that protects and helps the yerech, the meaning of tikkun abris. So there is a cherev of gaivav kedusha that brings about tikkun abris. Aval al yidei cherev hagaivo shel elu hamanhigim anal shemekabla me'agerim kanal, but through this sword of gaiva that these wrong type of leaders receive from these gerim, as we spoke about before, nizgabrim chas v'shalom taivazu, they cause an arousal of this desire, this impure desire for women, this incorrect desire for women. Hold it over here. Any questions?
Renzal mentioned that there is a sword that does protect.
Exactly. Any answers? What's the sword?
Tefillah,
exactly.
Sword.
What's the pasuk to prove that? The Gemara in Brachos says. What's the punchline? Roimamois kale bigroinam, the cheref pifios biyavam. Those who praise Hashem with their throats, they carry a double-edged sword in their hands. What is the double-edged sword? The praise, the tefillah. Tefillah is called, when it says that Yaakov Avinu conquered Shechem, Becharbi ubekashti. The Gemara says, Betfilosi ubakoshosi. Cherev is tefillah.
The statement that Rav Nachman Shugan made,
which statement? Yes, in other words, he was quoting it, obviously, I believe, from a Sefer. I never saw it myself. I think the wording that he quoted was that he could affect such a tikkun that it would make it better. That's how I think it is. I think the wording that he quoted was that he could affect such a tikkun that it would make it better. That's how I think it is.